Well, here we are together again. It's Sunday. Have you ever stopped to think, why? Why don't we meet here together on Tuesday like this? Or why doesn't the church gather together for worship like this on Thursday? I mean, why is it the pattern of believers all over the world, in every country, every culture where Jesus Christ is Lord, why is it that the main gathering for worship takes place on Sunday? Well, many Christians today, if you ask them what is Sunday for, would probably have some different answers for you. You would hope that most would say it's for gathering together with other believers at church. But maybe they'd answer you, it's a great day to have a nap or cut the grass, watch some sports. I mean, football's on. Maybe it's a day to get caught up on your shopping. Basically, some people view it as a great day to get caught up on whatever you didn't get done during the week. For some, Sunday is no different than any other day of the week. And so you can ask the question, well, why do we gather on Sunday? What's so special about Sunday? Well, we're carrying on our series. This is our second last week of our series. We're looking at the fundamental theological beliefs that we believe as Christians and follow. And we've been working our way through our statement of faith as a church and making sure we know what we believe and why. Well, today we're looking at what we call the Lord's Day. And this is what we're actually practicing right here now together. And so let me read our statement on the Lord's Day for you. It's going to be up on the screen. This is from our statement of faith. We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day in honor of his glorious resurrection and is particularly appropriate for corporate appropriate day for corporate worship. And as with the others, we have some passages that are on the screen for you that are in support of the statement, one of which we'll read in a few moments. Now, over the course of church history, there have been a number of messages or statements made about the Lord's Day. I'd like to share some with you from some Christian theologians of from our past. Some might make you uncomfortable. For example, Robert Murray M. Cheyenne once preached, "And may we boldly say that man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not love the entire Lord's Day." Or J.C. Ryle, who once said, "It is not too much to say that the prosperity or decay of organized Christianity depends on the maintenance of the Christian Sabbath." Or a Puritan by the name of Thomas Watson, who said, "To profane the Sabbath is a great sin. It is a willful contempt of God. This is to despise God, to hang out the flag of defiance, to throw down the gauntlet and challenge God himself." A.A. Alexander once wrote, "If we possess any measure of the true spirit of devotion, this sacred day will be most welcome to our hearts." And the last one, Albert Barnes, who wrote this, he said, "This truth from history of the world will bear to be recorded in letters of gold that the true religion will exist only among men, only when they strictly observe the Sabbath." Now, whether we agree with the full extent of these comments, the unifying theme from church history is that the Lord's Day is important and we are to keep it. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to one of the passages from our statement of faith, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're just looking at the first, we'll just be touching on the first few verses there. Let's just pray together as we come to God's word. God, thank you for this time in your scriptures. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, of gathering together here together to worship again your name, God, and to come into your word. Lord, be with us now as we speak of this of your Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 3, it says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." This is speaking of the resurrection of Christ and the going to the tomb and finding that Jesus had risen from the dead, risen from the dead. Now, we're going to touch on this as we go through this morning. But as we look at the Lord's Day, I want to give you a little bit of background and understanding to where the Lord's Day has come from and how it brings us to today and how we apply and live this today. Right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, if you go there this week, I'd encourage you, look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It tells us of God's day of rest, the seventh day of creation. Now, God is all powerful. He could have spoken the whole of creation into existence in one instant, but he chose to take 6 days to create the world. And when he was done, God did not need a day off because he was exhausted. No, God created the world in 6 days, but then chose to rest on the seventh. God rested on the seventh, Scripture tells us, and points us to in providing a model for mankind. You see, Jesus verified this even when he taught that the Sabbath is a gracious gift from God, given for the benefit of man. Since the day of rest is taught in creation and by Jesus, Christians should still embrace the principle of observing a day of rest each week. Now, see, we were created in his image. Again, right back in the beginning with the book of Genesis, we learn we are created in God's image. And so we're to follow the pattern that he has set out for us. And God has called us to a weekly day of rest. The Sabbath was also taught and commanded by God to the Jewish people. It's actually part of the Ten Commandments. And you can read of that in Exodus chapter 20. And it was to be practiced as a part of the natural rhythm of life and of worship of God. Now then, the law was given to the people of Israel for the nation, and it included precise definitions of just how much work could be or not could be done on that day. And the religious leaders, they added then further rules to the law to ensure that it was kept. And Jesus ran up against these legalistic views that the religious leaders had created themselves for the Sabbath in his own ministry. Ultimately, the people were to rest from their normal daily work, and they were to then worship God. Now, they were to worship the Lord every day, just as you and I are still to this day to worship God every day. But the Jewish people on the Sabbath was a special day. They came together as a group and focused in worshiping God together. The Sabbath day was a public time of worship. They would gather together. And I encourage you also, if you're looking for something to read this week, go back and look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is a psalm that was specifically written for the Sabbath day. Now, John Calvin, who's a theologian, one of our reformers, he said this. He said, God did not command men simply to keep holiday every seventh day as if he delighted in their indolence, but rather that they, being released from all other business, might the more readily apply their minds to the creator of the world. Because God sanctified, meaning set apart, made holy, the Sabbath and blessed the Sabbath, it belongs to him. It was not a day to be for doing what you would normally do, but rather it was a day to take time to spend with the Lord and with his people. Now, keep with me here as I'm talking of Sabbath, and we're going to get to the Lord's day. But again, we're taught in Scripture of this Sabbath time. Now, often I think we can admit we are busy in our own daily lives, our own weeks, that sometimes time with the Lord gets pushed to the side or gets hurried. We don't take time to actually get into God's word like we should, or to pray or to reflect on, are we living Christ-like lives? When you take time to spend with someone, it shows them you care about them. It shows them you love them. You find them to be important in your life. Well, it's the same with God. When we take time out of our lives to spend with God, it says to God, I love you, God. I want to know more about you. I care about you. You're number one in my life. And Scripture repeats regularly the teaching of the Sabbath day, a set day, set aside, one which we should rest from our normal work, take time to be with the Lord, to worship with his people. You see, observing the Sabbath was a sign for the Israelites that they belonged to God, that they were actually following his commands that they were called to. And keeping the Sabbath is a sign of trust that God would provide for our needs, that we don't have to work 7 days and trying to provide for ourselves or our families. The Sabbath day is also a reminder of God's redemption of the people of Israel. The Sabbath reminded the Israelites how God had delivered them out of their slavery in Egypt. And today we practice the Lord's Day, and it's a reminder to us of how God has delivered us from our slavery to sin through Jesus Christ. Now, as we read into the New Testament, we see Jesus himself observe the Sabbath as a day of public worship. We can go to Luke chapter 4, where it tells us that on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom. And just as Jesus made a point of going to the synagogue for public worship on the Sabbath, again, it teaches us our need of this weekly pattern of rest and worship. Jesus also healed people on the Sabbath day. And the Gospels record a number of times where Jesus had the Pharisees questioning him over his healing of people on the Sabbath. And yet Jesus was making the point how doing good, doing works of mercy were not forbidden on the Sabbath. And as I mentioned earlier, the religious leaders, they sought to make this practice of the Sabbath more rigorous than God had actually originally commanded it. It was not wrong to eat on the Sabbath. It was not wrong to do good on the Sabbath day. And so to heal was a work of mercy. And the Lord of the Sabbath is merciful. One commentator I read this week, he pointed out that Jesus reminded his disciples and those opposing him that the Sabbath was a sign of redemption. The same God who had broken the enemy's power in Egypt and commanded his people to remember that great act of mercy by observing the Sabbath was now breaking Satan's grip on people's lives through Jesus. Jesus claimed that the Sabbath was pointing straight at him. He, being God's Son from heaven, was Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus actually in Matthew chapter 12 proclaims himself as Lord of the Sabbath. He also taught that the Sabbath was made for our benefit. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 27. It says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was never God's intention for the Sabbath to be a burden to you or I, but rather a delight. The Sabbath was meant as a blessing to God's creation. Jesus didn't get hung up on all the legalistic rules of his day from the religious leaders. Jesus himself used the Sabbath for worshiping God, for resting from work, and for doing good. He encouraged his disciples, and he encourages you and I to continue doing the same. And God looks at our hearts, not our outward observance of man-made rules. The history of the Israelites shows us how prone we are as humanity to make rules that are really not from God and then take pride in following them. Legalism does not produce godliness. The Lord's day is not to have a list of things we can and cannot do. We should view the Lord's day as a gift from God, not as a duty to be fulfilled. And God called for his people to live, to practice the Sabbath, to set aside a day of rest and a time to worship God. But as we get beyond the Gospels into the New Testament, we see the early church begins to meet on a new day and gather together on a new day. The first day of the week, as our passage pointed out here, the day after the Jewish Sabbath, a day where they would gather for worship, which is the Lord's Day, which is what we're looking at today in our statement of faith. From the early church to the present, virtually all Christian traditions have held that the command to set apart the Sabbath day as holy continues in some form. And this is because, unlike the other more ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, the pattern of the Sabbath was established back right at the beginning at creation. And so the Lord's Day that we're talking about here is understood within Christianity to refer to Sunday, the first day of the week, which is set apart for worship and rest and commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus. This day for us as believers in Jesus, it holds significant theological and historical importance, serving for us as a weekly reminder of the new creation that was brought in by Christ's victory over death. And see, Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, which was the first day of the Jewish work week. Many scholars believe that John, even when he speaks in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, of saying, I'm in the Lord's day, he's referring to the first day of the week as well. And this is why the early church took that first day of the week as its day to gather to worship, move from the seventh day. The seventh day marked the completion of the first creation. The first day of the week now marked the victory of the new creation with the resurrection of Christ. And so the Christian church made that change from the seventh day to the first day to worship because it's the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The day he completed his Father's redeeming work. And that's the work that you and I celebrate in salvation. Now, as we've covered the principle of a day of rest and focused on our time on God after 6 days of work and how it's rooted in the law of Moses, but actually in creation. And since, like the early church, we commemorate the resurrection of Christ by engaging in worship together, corporate worship together on the first day of the week, it's also a great thing to use this day as that day of rest, which we cease from labor that is not work that is of necessity or of mercy. Now, I do recognize, and please hear me, I do recognize that there are those of us at times who have to work on a Sunday. And if this is you, then I would encourage you, take a look at your week, where you those weeks where you have to work on Sunday. Where can you fit in that week a time of rest and Sabbath and worship for the Lord? Now, as I mentioned before, we should remember that for all believers, every day is to be a time of worship. We're to be worshiping God all the time. But when are we gathering together with other believers to worship our God, to praise his name? The evidence in the New Testament shows that from the time of the resurrection of Jesus and onward, Jesus' followers began to gather for worship on that first day of the week, the Sunday. And believers have kept that throughout history, right up to today. And we're here this morning because of that. And this is an important commitment that we as believers of Christ can have, to gather each week to worship God on the Lord's Day together. We are called in Scripture to gather together. It's modeled by the faithful believers before us, and we need it. Look at this passage from Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, it's interesting that already in the early church, by the time this book of Hebrews was written, it seems there were already believers who were not attending worship together as they should have been. And so the writer of Hebrews says, don't be like that. Don't do that. Don't give up meeting together. And for us believers today, you and I, this is the local church. We looked at this a few weeks ago. We are the local church. We are gathered a body of believers together. We are not to get out of the habit of coming together, worshiping together, and serving our great God together. Why? Because Hebrews says here, we meet together, we encourage, we build up one another to love and good works. Meeting with other Christians encourages you and I in our walk with God. We need the encouragement from other people in the church. And you know what? Other people here need your encouragement as well. And so we need to gather together with believers on the Lord's Day. But it's not just all about being physically present. There's a lot more here. You need to come expectantly. What has God got for me today? How is God going to use me today? What am I going to be challenged in by God today? Come with the right heart attitude for what God is going to do. You see, the Lord's Day is like, it's like water for a thirsty runner. If you've ever watched the Olympics or seen a marathon race, what do they have in those races? Every once in a while, there's a water station, right? Because people who are running, they need sustenance of water to keep going in the race. Well, life for us is like that race. Life is hard. It leaves us weary and dry. And so the Lord's Day, in a sense, it offers us a spiritual refreshment to keep going in the race of life. It doesn't keep us going for the whole race of life, but at least for the next week, and the next week, and the next week. Tim Challey is a pastor in Ontario here. He once said this of the Lord's Day. He said, "The Lord's Day is like a meal for the hungry pilgrim. As Christians, we are pilgrims, people moving purposely through this life towards the heavenly city that awaits us. Like a kind citizen may provide a meal to the needy pilgrim, the Lord's Day is God's kind provision for our spiritual sustenance. It provides what we need and what we cannot generate from within ourselves." Now, God did create us to work. Let's be honest here. God created us to work. That's in Scripture, right? In the beginning of Genesis as well. But it's also clear in creation that God created a day so that we could rest from that work. The Lord's Day provides a period of rest from our day-to-day work in which we trust that God in Christ is going to provide for not only our spiritual needs, but also for our physical needs. The Lord's Day invites us to a weekly celebration where we come together, we celebrate Christ's victory on the cross, and we look in anticipation for Christ's return together. It should be a day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus together, where we come with others who are redeemed, just like us, who are saved, to use some of our time on Sunday to reflect on who God is as our Creator and Savior, to think about his sacrificial death on the cross for our sin, which gives us the gift of salvation, and to rejoice in that finished work and to look with expectancy to his return. Now, on the Lord's Day, we enjoy a reunion with the diverse family of God. And we learned about this a couple weeks ago as we talked about the church and how God brings us all together. We're all quirky, but we come together as the body of Christ. And what a joy that is to be able to do that, to come together as the body of Christ, to worship together, to encourage one another, and to make sure each one is provided for and to simply enjoy one another's company. On the Lord's Day, we take time to also open God's Word together. And from it, we gain knowledge as the Word of God teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, it trains us in righteousness, so that we are knowledgeable and we are equipped to go out into this world proclaiming His good news of salvation and to make disciples. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God." Let God set out the Sabbath to help us, to focus on Him. It is still a weekly event that is created to give us rhythm in life. It's a day that should set the tone for all our other days in our lives. When we give priority not only to our personal devotion to God, but to also corporate worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I'd encourage you today, reflect on your relationship with God. Think back over the week that has gone by. Did you live a Christ-like life this past week? Does your schedule, as you look at it coming up this week, does it have the proper priorities in place? Make sure that any known sin is confessed before God. You see, sin can rob us of God's rest. Use the Lord's Day to serve Him, do good deeds, to rest your body, worship God. Another commentator I read this week said this, said the church is a group of Christians who assemble as an earthly embassy of Christ's heavenly kingdom to proclaim the good news and commands of Christ, the King, to affirm one another as citizens through the ordinances and to display God's own holiness and love through a unified and diverse people in all the world. I don't know about you, but in my own life, I more and more find the Lord's Day not just as a starting point to a new week, but as one of my central events of worship and living for Christ that I cannot and I will not and I could not make it through life without it. And I am so thankful that God provided the Lord's Day for us and prescribed it for us. I love coming to see you guys every Sunday. It is a joy to come to hear the bustling of this congregation. I have the joy of preaching back and forth with Bob Cajun site as well, and being over there. We're part of the family of God. These two sites working together, proclaiming God's good news. And what a joy that is. I look forward to Sunday, and I hope you do too. The Sabbath principle is not abandoned by the early church. Christ still offers us rest, and the meaning of that day is that Jesus is risen. He's risen. Jesus is Lord. He is our Creator. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is the only place that you and I are going to be able to find rest for our souls. And it is a day for worshiping Jesus. It's a day for saying that we won't do what we normally do, but we're going to focus on Jesus and resting in Him. Not focus on working or the money that we get from our work, but focus on Jesus, who is our true treasure and meaning in life. It is a day for the honor and glory of our risen Lord. I want to close with you this morning with a quote from John Piper. He says this, he says, "We cannot escape what seems to be compelling evidence that the Lord's Day remains till Jesus comes and that it is set apart for the glory of Christ and the good of our souls. May the Lord give you wisdom and freedom and joy as you display His work and His worth on His day." Let's pray. God, You are so good to us. You bless us in so many ways. And we've covered so many things this fall, Lord, in this statement of faith of what You teach us in Your Word. And God, as we look today at the Lord's Day, Your day, God, where we gain rest, but we gain the opportunity to come together with a purpose to focus on You, God, to proclaim Your name, to praise You, God, for who You are. For You are God. You are Jesus. You are our Lord. You are our Creator. You are our Redeemer, and Jesus, You are the only place we are going to find rest for our souls. Thank You, Jesus, for who You are. Thank You for being our Savior, our Lord, providing us with the gift of salvation. And may we go into this world proclaiming this, God, boldly, in Jesus' name. Amen.